Welcome, everybody, to today's ILTA 15-Minute Podcast interview entitled Keeping Up with Hands-Off Communication with Hands-Off Teams. I'm your moderator, Ryan Gerlach, a legal analyst with the State of California Attorney General's Office. I'm thrilled to be joined today by our speaker, Anne Halkett, Director, Solved eDiscovery Services, a division of AHBL MLP. Welcome, Anne.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
We're just so happy to be able to talk to you about this because I know this is an issue that's, you know, coming up with a lot of teams. There's not a lot of people who are working in the office anymore. So just to start off really quick, I wanted to ask kind of what's your situation with work from home right now? Are you guys completely remote? Do you have like a hybrid schedule? What's your situation?
Yeah, we're hybrid. So I am in the office. It depends on your role. So in my role, I'm required to be in the office 4 days a week. But my team is 2 days a week, sometimes 1 day a week, sometimes no days a week. It just depends. And we have another issue as well. We've actually run out of office space. So we don't have enough offices for everyone at the firm anymore because we underwent quite a hiring blitz during the pandemic. And so people are sharing offices, which means people never see each other. So while I might see them periodically, the other team members never see each other, which makes it quite challenging.
Yeah, I think that the hybrid schedule and a lot of that sounds like, you know, a very common practice nowadays, and especially when dealing with, you know, as you mentioned, just people's different roles in a company and how often they're in the office. So I guess leading into my first question kind of on the topic of, you know, what are some steps you take to keep communication consistent and open amongst this team who are all on completely different schedules?
Yeah. And, you know, it is so much more challenging now with communications because people aren't in the office. Communication has always been important, but I find it's even more important now. And you have to follow strategies and you have to stick with them. You have to set expectations for communication. I know, like when we were all at home during the pandemic, and I wouldn't hear from people at first, and you know, you would think that they would speak to you, but they didn't. They would just work along in their own world. And then you quickly realized we need to set expectations for communication. You know, like I need you to tell me what you're doing. If I send an email, I need you to respond within a reasonable amount of time, some point during the day, you know, and if I need to speak to you or deal with you urgently, you know, if you're going to be away from, and I get it, you might be taking a break. So taking a break could be outside now. So, you know what I mean? Not somewhere in the office. You know, maybe just let me know. Like if we're working on something urgent, otherwise I don't need to know those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So how will you communicate on a project? You know, for example, if you're working on, and I'm in a law firm, so it might be quite different in a corporate environment or government environment. If we're working on a file, then the communication typically for us should be in an email, and because that email needs to end up in our document management system as part of the file. So, and I've had a conversation with my team about this and how we would do this. Now, if it's an informal communication, it doesn't need to be in an email. It could be chat. The exception might be, however, sometimes when we're working in a really large group, for example, me being in eDiscovery, we might have a large review project or something like that, in which case we might have a dedicated Teams channel where we'll put all communication about the project so that everyone is aware. So if someone's asking a question, everyone's got the answer, everyone's on the same page, they know where to go for it. And likewise, what we've also developed is you'll have reference material for your team. So it used to be you'd give people handouts or paper. Everything's so much, it's digital. I don't mind digital, not at all. I'm very much in favor of digital, but where are you going to store it? Because people need to know where to go to look for it. So again, if it's reference materials, like my group, we have Teams folders where we put those things. We have a foldering system and our document management system where we have other reference materials. And so the important thing is so everyone knows where to go. And that's also really important when you're onboarding people, because onboarding in this new world is very different than it was prior to this. So you want to mention it. You probably want to bring it up multiple times with individuals as reminders in the group. So is everyone storing their stuff in blah, you know, blah, something along those lines. So some sort of reminders. Don't rely on messaging alone is another thing that I would say. Sometimes you need to pick up the phone, have a Teams call. The other thing I find really important is when we used to have everyone in the office, you would have intermittent conversations about a file. Mm-hmm. So you'd run into the people and you'd mention something. You don't have that anymore. So people need background information when they're working on something. And so they need to know where their task fits into the bigger picture. And typically in the past, you would stick your head in someone's office and you'd say, you know, you'd add some of that information. You can't do that anymore, but everyone needs to know where they're fitting in, like who's doing what, you know, how does your piece fit into a larger project? So then providing that background information is key. The other thing I would say is if you're having regular meetings, we have regular meetings. And again, the frequency will depend on what we're working on. For example, if we're having a major software upgrade, we're probably going to have more regular meetings because we need to know what's going on. We're also billing, so we don't want to bog people down in meetings because they've got work to do. And we want them to be billing. So we have to be cognizant of those things. Have an agenda for your meetings so that people know what you're going to be discussing, and then maybe they can take that away or it's in a location where they can access it. Have a cameras on policy for your meetings so that everyone is present, you know, that they're not, you know, who knows what they're doing here, but it's sort of cameras on is accountability. You have to be present, which is the expectation in any job. You know, and the other thing I say is always schedule in time for your meetings, in your meetings, to have some fun. So the collegiality that you'd have before is kind of missed because it seems more, and it's just one thing, it's more work, work, work. When you have this, you know, this Teams or written communication, so maybe a couple of minutes or even a dedicated meeting every so once in a while, it's collegial. Some things, where are you going on vacation? So I heard, you know, I got a new puppy. How's the puppy doing? Let's see some pictures, things like that. So that you build the connections with people, because that's the key when you're off. And when you're in the office, you had those connections. And the less contact that you have with people, the more you lose those connections. And that's the glue that holds the team together. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we really underestimated what the loss of that in-person interaction really brought to team building and teamwork. And I think you're right. Yeah. Having time in meetings to be able to like just be able to talk about your personal life and commiserate a little bit with your fellow team members is really important. I guess going into communicating with your team in that way, like how consistent or how often do you think you need to communicate with your team members in order to make sure that everyone stays on the same page, everyone stays connected? Is it like a once a day thing? Is there, I know you mentioned like rush projects and things obviously have a different timeline there, but.
Yeah, and it depends what you're working on. Then, you know, if you're working on a file, and it's urgent, you're probably going to have more communications, and it depends what they'll be. If you're working on an upgrade, different. if your system is going down and you're getting complaints from people about your system going down or whatever, yeah, you're going to be more frequent about those communications, because everyone on the team needs to know what's going on, because others will be reaching out to them for that information. So getting that advice across to them is key. So it just depends. I mean, the other thing I think about too is Teams and Zoom fatigue as well. So, you know, too many meetings. So I think it's really important to consider the message and the form of communication. You know, it's so easy to jump on a Teams call right now, and that's fantastic. But at the same time, would it be better served to put that communication in writing, depending what it is? Is it something people need to refer to again and again? Perhaps writing would be the best format. Is it something that should be logged somewhere? If so, where should it be logged? So that people can go back to it again and again and reference that information. So those are just some of the things that come to my mind.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I definitely understand that, like, Teams and Zoom fatigue a little bit. We use Teams at the DOJ, so we're constantly hopping on to help out with any issues that, you know, legal teams are having. What are some pitfalls that you think people might not consider when, you know, establishing communication protocols for remote work?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Lost opportunities, and let me put that in perspective. FaceTime. So FaceTime, when you're physically present, people would get the plum assignments, right? Mm-hmm. Typically, your face. So, oh, there's so and so here. Have this kind of thing. So my concern is, and I think about this with my team, is trying to be equal in the assignment of jobs. And so lost opportunities, FaceTime, plum assignments, promotions, those sorts of things, is that's what we used to have in the office. And now you're remote and you're working in isolation. How not everyone is thinking about those things with their team, because managers are busy. They've got a lot on their plate, but that's something that they need to be aware of, fairness, in terms of work assignment. The other thing I think about is how to get the introverts to talk. So in a meeting where we're all around a boardroom, the folks who are introverted, and I have nothing against introverts, I'm actually an introvert myself. So I force myself to speak, so because I've got to get out of my shell. But, you know, they'll sit in the back, they'll sort of blend in, and they won't say much. They might say something, but, you know, then you've got the really gregarious people. Nothing wrong with that, but they have lots to say. But so how are you going to balance that? It's harder to balance that in a Teams meeting, because, you know, versus in a boardroom. So I try and encourage people to put things in the chat, gives the introverts an opportunity to be heard. You also need to monitor the chat and bring that information, like somebody needs to voice it and bring it out so everybody hears about it, and so that those individuals feel that they're heard, which is also important. I think empathy is key. There's a person behind the screen, and more so now than ever, you really don't know what's going on in people's lives. I mean, when the office, you might have a clue, like they look sad, they look down. Maybe you'd hear some rumors about, you know, who knows what was on their plate kind of thing. You're not hearing those rumors anymore. So it's being more cognizant of, you know, people are people, and being, you know, having empathy. And I say this, say, for someone is suddenly missing deadlines or their work product isn't as good. Don't jump to judge, which is really easy to do. It's like stepping back and say, wait a minute, you know, could there be something going on in the person's life? And that's when you want to have a call with them and say, you know, I just want to check in with you and see how you're doing. You know, I noticed that you missed that deadline. And I'm wondering, you know, is everything okay? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Is there anything I can help you with? So, you know, my job is to be a mentor and to help my team along. And I can't do that if I'm judging people. I need to be helpful to them, provide them with opportunities, and be fair. So checking in with them, you used to see people in the hall or again, the water cooler. I can't stress that enough. Checking in with them at the end of a call, asking people about their workloads. You can't be a micromanager, but it's important to know what everyone's working on because you have to try and fit it in with everyone else's schedule. Someone doesn't have work. We need to move, you know, take something from someone else, assign it to someone else. Because sometimes some people feel like they've got to do it all. You know, I get that. We can have the overachievers, but they're going to burn themselves out and that doesn't help anybody. So sharing the work. Just checking my notes here, having some sort of reporting. So people report in where they're on. That could be a daily, every couple of days. It could be your weekly meetings. Like I'm working on this. And like you said, commiserating, I'm having an awful time with X. And then sharing those stories and gaining insights from others on the team.
Yeah, that's, again, I think we really did underestimate what the loss of just face-to-face time and being able to communicate like that had. Unfortunately, I think that's all the time we have for today, but thank you so much for joining us today, Anne. This was a really good conversation, and I think you gave us a lot of great advice that hopefully, you know, any listeners who tune into this will be able to take back to their own work.
Well, thanks for having me.